Hello, welcome to the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast, where it is all about helping amazing physicians just like you create a wealthy life free from burnout and with the financial security to practice medicine on your own terms. I'm your host, Dr. Elisa Zhang. Welcome back to another episode of the Grow Your Wealthy Mindset podcast. When you start hearing about the different types of tax-advantaged investing accounts, it can start to sound like alphabet soup. All those letters and numbers actually refer to specific tax codes, which created the different types of accounts. For employees, the most common types of accounts you will encounter at your place of work are the 401k and 403b plans. If you work for a government or nonprofit, you may also have a 457b plan. If you are self-employed, there are a number of different retirement accounts available. In this podcast episode, I'm going to review each type of account. I'll try to keep it simple and stick to the basics without boring you to tears. Retirement accounts are tax advantage accounts for investing. 99% of the US tax code is actually incentives from the government to get individuals to do things that are good for themselves or good for the economy. The government wants people to save for retirement, so they create a tax incentive to do so by decreasing the amount of taxes paid when people put away money for retirement. However, the government still wants to get their money at some point. With retirement accounts, there are two flavors, traditional and Roth. With traditional retirement accounts, the money goes in pre-tax, so you don't have to pay taxes on the money contributed into the account. It then grows tax-free while it's in the account. However, when you withdraw money from the account, you will pay ordinary income tax on the money that comes out. There is also a required minimum distribution, or RMD, that occurs once you reach a certain age, currently 72 years of age, which is the age where you have to start taking money out of the retirement account, even if you don't need it. After all, the government wants to be paid those taxes eventually. The Roth version of retirement accounts, named after Senator William Roth from the state of Delaware, allows you to put after-tax money away for retirement. In exchange for paying taxes upfront, you don't have to pay taxes on withdrawal, and that money grows tax-free the entire time it's in the account. The most common type of Roth account is the Roth IRA, or individual retirement account, but there are Roth 401ks and Roth 403bs available too. So now's a good time to segment into the different types of retirement accounts. Let's start with the IRA, or individual retirement account. Anyone can contribute to an IRA if they have earned income above the amount they contribute. And almost everyone is better off contributing to a Roth IRA instead of a traditional IRA. However, some people may have to do something called a backdoor Roth IRA. They've been talking about closing this backdoor, but as of the time of this podcast recording, it is still open. With both the traditional IRA and the Roth IRA, you can currently contribute $6,000 a year, or $7,000 a year if you are age 50 or older. Generally, in all these retirement accounts, there's something called a catch-up contribution, where if you are 50 years of age or older, you can contribute more. With a Roth IRA, you are putting in after-tax dollars. The money grows tax-free, withdrawals are tax-free, and penalty-free if taken out after age 59 and a half. There are exceptions that allow early withdrawal without penalty. You can withdraw up to $10,000 to pay for a first-time home purchase, but you can only do that once. You can also withdraw penalty-free to pay for qualified education expenses, qualified expenses related to birth or adoption, or unreimbursed medical expenses or health insurance if you are unemployed. If you become disabled, you can also withdraw without penalty. Once you've had a Roth IRA account for more than 5 years and you've reached age 59 and a half, you can now withdraw from your Roth IRA tax and penalty free for your spending pleasure. If you had an account for less than 5 years but are over the age of 59 and a half, then you would have to pay taxes on the earnings, but you would not have to pay the penalty of early withdrawal. There's no required minimum distribution for owners of Roth IRAs. But if you inherit a Roth IRA from your parent, you will have to withdraw all the money from the account within 10 years following your parent's death. There's no timetable when you have to take the money out. You could literally take all of it out 9 years and 364 days after the death of your parent when you inherited the account. The income limits for a Roth IRA is $144,000 in 2022 for a single individual, or $214,000 for 2022 for a married couple. If you earn over this income limit, then you have to do the backdoor Roth IRA. To do a backdoor Roth IRA, you need to contribute to a traditional IRA. Then you do a Roth conversion from the traditional IRA to a Roth IRA. You do not tax deduct the contribution to the traditional IRA. So in reality, you're putting after-tax dollars into that traditional IRA already. And then when you convert it to the Roth IRA, it's still after-tax dollars. The caveat is that you only want to do this if you do not have any money in a traditional IRA where you did actually take a tax deduction on that contribution. For example, if you had a 401k or 403b from a previous employment and then you rolled it over into a traditional IRA, now you did actually take a tax deduction on that money and now it's in a traditional IRA, that makes it more difficult for you to actually do this backdoor Roth IRA. If you don't currently have a traditional IRA account, then you can go ahead and open up a traditional IRA account and do the backdoor Roth conversion to a Roth IRA without a problem. With a traditional IRA, you can deduct your contribution from your taxes with a few caveats. If you have an employer-sponsored program like a 401k or a pension program, you would only be able to deduct your contribution if you make less than $68,000 a year as an individual in 2022, or $105,000 for those who are married filing jointly. Remember, anyone with earned income can contribute to a Roth IRA. If your teenage kids are working part-time jobs, they are likely not making enough money to actually pay taxes. They can contribute to a Roth IRA and never pay taxes on that money. Or you could contribute money to their Roth IRA to the amount that they actually earned and let them spend the money they earned if you're a generous parent and want to help them get ahead. So let's talk about employer plans next. Currently, more physicians are employed by hospitals or corporate entities than self-employed or employed by another physician, which is actually a very recent turning point in medicine. 401k plans are offered by for-profit entities, and 403 plans are offered by nonprofit entities. Other than that, these two types of accounts are actually pretty similar. For traditional 401k and 403b plans, the money goes in pre-tax, grows tax-free, and gets taxed at withdrawal at ordinary income rates. There is a required minimum distribution starting at age 72, and it's usually pretty easy to enroll in your company or organization's 401k or 403b plan. You can contribute up to $20,500 in 2022, which is up $1,000 from 2021, and then also contribute an extra $6,500 if you are age 50 or older. The total contribution limit, including employee and employer contributions, is $61,000 or $67,500 for those who are 50 and older. Hopefully, your employer also provides a match as another incentive for you to contribute. Often, you will have to stay employed for a minimum amount of time before your employer's contribution is vested, meaning that you get to keep that money if you leave your job. Your employer can set up the retirement plan with different brokerage companies, and there may be limited investment options, or there may not be great investment options like index funds. Your employer may offer a Roth version of a 401k or 403b as well. In that case, the money goes in post-tax, grows tax-free, and is tax-free on withdrawal. The contribution limits are the same as with the traditional plans. If your employer offers both the traditional and the Roth account, you can choose to invest in both. The contribution limit is the sum of what you contribute. So you can contribute $20,500 in both accounts, not each account. You could contribute $10,250 into each type of account or $5,500 into one and $15,000 into the other, however you want to divide it. If you work for the government or a nonprofit hospital, you may have the option of putting money into a 457b plan. This is a deferred contribution plan where you are essentially putting aside part of your salary to be paid to you later. It acts like a pre-tax contribution that grows tax-free and is taxed at ordinary income rates on withdrawal. Employees can contribute up to $20,500 or $27,000 with the catch-up contribution. There is no penalty in withdrawing from a 457b plan anytime after leaving your employer. If you leave your job, that has a 457b plan, you can roll it over to another 401k, but then there would be that 10% penalty for early withdrawal if you took it out before you were 59 and a half years old. Because it is deferred salary, the money still technically belongs to your employer until you actually take it out. If your employer is the government, it's generally safe. But if your employer is a hospital and that hospital goes bankrupt, you could actually lose all the money that you have in the 457b plan. That's why you need to think twice about contributing to a 457b plan if you're not actually working for a government entity. You will want to consider the financials of your employer. If you are self-employed, there are different options. This includes if you're paid as a 1099 contractor. There are some differences if you have employees or if you're totally on your own. The solo 401k or Roth solo 401k is for business owners with no employees. It has a much higher contribution limit than IRAs and works similarly to 401ks. As an employee, you can contribute up to 100% of your self-employed income to a max of $20,500 in 2022 or $27,000 if you're age 50 or older. You are also your own employer, so you can put on your employer hat and then contribute an additional 25% of your business income, which is your net profit, less half your self-employment tax and the plan contributions you made for yourself, for a maximum of $61,000 or $67,500 if you're age 50 or older. Even though I said the solo 401k was only if you are by yourself, you actually are able to hire your spouse so that they can also contribute to the plan. Your spouse can contribute up to the $20,500 as an employee, and then you as an employer can contribute up to a total of $61,000 plus the catch-up if eligible. That can allow a married couple to put $122,000 a year towards retirement. What's more is that you, as a business owner, you can open the account wherever you want. You can choose places with good index funds or even somewhere that allows you to invest directly in real estate. But that's a strategy for a whole other podcast episode. A SEP IRA, which stands for Simplified Employee Pension, can be used by someone who's self-employed or a business owner with employees. A SEP IRA is easier and less expensive to operate than a traditional 401k plan. The SEP IRA allows contributions much larger than a traditional IRA. An employer can contribute up to 25% of each employee's income, up to a maximum of $61,000 in 2022. If you're self-employed, you can contribute up to 25% of net income up to the same limit. Employers must contribute an equal percentage of salary for each eligible employee. The business owner is also considered an employee for the plan. So if you want to contribute 10% of your compensation to yourself, then you also have to contribute 10% to each eligible employee's compensation. Unlike with a 401k, employees are always immediately 100% vested in employer contributions, which may be a disadvantage for using the retirement plan as a way to keep employees from leaving. Unless you plan on being a very generous employer or don't plan on contributing much for yourself, usually SEP IRAs are used by people without employees, in which case you might as well open a solo 401k. Another option for those with businesses with 100 or fewer employees is a simple IRA. Contribution limits are lower than with a SEP IRA or 401k plans, but it is easier to set up. SIMPLE stands for Savings Incentive Match Plan for Employees. Employers must either match the employee contributions up to 3% of the employee's salary or contribute 2% of the employee's salary, regardless of any contribution from the employee. Employees are always fully vested. Employees can contribute up to $14,000 from their salary in 2022 or $17,000 if they are age 50 or older. If you are self-employed with no employees and you have a high income and want to save a lot for retirement on an ongoing basis, you could consider a defined benefit plan. This allows you to contribute based on the benefit you want to receive at retirement, your age, and your expected investment returns. An actuary must actually figure out your deduction limit. You can do this plan if you have employees, but then generally you have to offer the plan to them and make contributions on their behalf, making this maybe not such a great choice. There are some tax-advantaged accounts for investing that are for goals other than retirement. A 529 plan also known as a qualified tuition plan, is a tax advantage plan to help pay for education expenses. They were originally created to pay for post-secondary education expenses, but was expanded in 2017 to cover certain costs associated with kindergarten through 12th grade education as well. There are two basic types of 529 plans, education savings plans and prepaid tuition plans. Each state offers their own 529 plan or plans, and you don't have to invest in your own state's plan. Because of the large variety of plans, deciding on which 529 plan is very individualized depending on what state you live in, possibly where your child or children decide to go to school, and what options you want them to have. If your child doesn't end up using all the money in the 529 plan, the account beneficiary can be changed to another family member or even to yourself. The last tax advantage account I'll discuss is probably the best in terms of tax savings for those who qualify. This is the HSA or health savings account. This is different from a flexible health spending account, which is a way to pay for current qualified healthcare expenses with pre-tax money, but doesn't allow you to invest the money, and typically you have to use it the same year you fund it. A health savings account is available only to people who have a high deductible health insurance plan and is not on Medicare. Contributions can be made by the individual or by their employer. The money goes in tax-free, grows tax-free, and if it's used to pay for qualified medical expenses, comes out tax-free. The maximum contribution for an HSA is $3,650 for an individual in 2022 and $7,300 for a family. Individuals 55 years and older can make a catch-up contribution of an additional $1,000. So this is where it's different from 50 years or older. You actually have to be 55 years and older for that catch-up contribution. When you have a qualified medical expense, you can choose to pay for it out of pocket and not actually use the money in your HSA account. You can allow the money to grow in the HSA account as long as you don't really need it. You can keep all your medical receipts so that anytime you do need the money, you have the option of withdrawing from your HSA account tax-free and essentially reimburse yourself for that qualified medical expense that you paid out of pocket years before. Of course, eventually as we age, we're likely to have plenty of medical expenses to use that money in that HSA account in the future. So don't worry if something actually happens to those receipts. I hope you found this episode informative without being too boring. One of the reasons why people shy away from finances is that the financial world really has its own language. By learning the language, you're likely to feel more comfortable with asking questions and learning more, and then you'll be in a much better position to manage your money wisely. My hope is to help make finances more simple and understandable so that you feel like you can actually take charge and manage your money and build that wealthy mindset. As always, thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and let me know by leaving a review. It really helps get the word out. And now the disclaimer. I am not a certified financial professional, and this show is really just for your education as well as your entertainment. I'm also a physician, but I'm probably not your physician. So if you need any medical advice, please consult your own physician. Thank you.